walking meditations. What's the point? What's the point of Buddhism? What's the point of what we're doing? What's the point of life? Okay. At some point, we all ask that question, right? Well, today, I want to give you an analogy, a swimming analogy. I've been working on this film that I shot 90% of the footage of back in the turn of this century. Seems weird to say that, but... So it's about 20 years old, so there's old phone technology in it and so forth. But the story is interesting, and the point I want to make is that I want to give you a cinematic sort of analogy to understand what we mean, what I mean, when I talk about transcendence and what Shakyamuni Buddha was trying to achieve, trying to teach from the very earliest to the most evolved later Mahayana and ultimately the Lotus Sutra. Why is Buddhism different? Why bother? Why isn't it just something else like everything else? Isn't it another religion? Which it is not. And you'll hopefully by the end of this video you'll understand. So, working on this film, doing all the post-production editing and everything to try to tell the story with all the footage that I have, I do something that I've done for decades, and I learned from somebody a long time ago. Maybe I didn't learn it from them, but I was able to label it. They called it management by walking around. And this is also in walking meditation or all sorts of walking practices. What we do when we walk without a specific destination, or even with a destination, when we walk, it's a lot like a waking dream state like we do at night. We organize our thoughts. And our monkey minds, you know, I walk around and try to think about a scene, what he says to she says to them, blah, what happens, blah, 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 blah. And those thoughts are there, of course. But in the meantime, as I'm thinking those things and I'm abstractly walking around, ice cream truck, 7-year-old, ringing the bell on the bike. Remember that girl at the beach when we moved all the way across the world? When we, mind is just going everywhere, right? But somehow in that abstraction, we work things out. And we have little moments where we go, oh yeah, that's what I need to be doing, right? So that's a walking meditation. So this morning I was having a walking meditation while not walking, just letting my mind wander, and this analogy of swimming came to mind. And the more I thought about it, the more it just seemed so elegant. Especially when we read sutras or gosho, these profound teachings that use a tremendous amount of analogy, storytelling, all to try to awaken a certain perception, a thought. So I thought of a camera. Think of a drone with a camera on it, and we hover that drone just above a body of water. And that body of water, we keep the camera angle just tilted enough so we don't get a horizon line. So we can't make out the size of this body of water. And we start out with just seeing these little peaks and valleys of the waves on the surface of the water. And we hear a sound approaching. Splash, 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 splash. And into camera comes these hands, arms, and then a head bopping side to side. Oh, there's a swimmer. And we're in water. Okay, we get context. And then the camera shifts angle. And we see the swimmer coming toward us. And then going away from us. And then we shift the camera up. Oh, we go underwater, and a swimmer, right? We get all the cinematic angles. And we, at some point, we're going to go, okay, we got a swimmer, we're in water, so what's the point, right? So now the camera moves up a little bit. And we start to see the back of the swimmer. And we can tell the swimmer is well-built and has straps, so this is a one-piece bathing suit they're swimming in, and so this must be a woman. And then the camera goes up above the woman, shifts angle, and we see the shoulders are muscular and working. Splash, splash, splash. And then the camera goes up a little further and we see her butt rolling in the water, and we hear her feet start to kick. And then we move the camera back and we see these long legs and this wonderfully articulated motion of the legs and the feet moving to push against the water. And then we go up a little higher and we start to see her in the context of a larger body of water. And then again, the mind comes and says, well, how long has she been doing this? And how big is this body of water? And what's the point? But the music is really increasing our tension and focusing our attention. And man, this is some swimming. This isn't just an idle swimmer. This is somebody who's really swimming. And camera goes up a little bit more and a little bit more. And the size of this body of water is starting to get really frustrating. Oh my goodness, how long has this been going on? Where's this person swimming from? Are they running? Are they going somewhere? What's going on? This is the life analogy, right? Just working and working and working. It doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere. Sometimes it does seem like we're getting somewhere, but it's abstract and we don't really know why. We just keep doing. And finally, the camera gets up high enough to where we see a shoreline beneath our swimmer. Oh, wow, they've been swimming a long time. Wow, she's just gone for, oh, maybe she should turn back. Man, you're too far away. You, right? Fear, doubt, all of this stuff. Life. Camera goes up a little higher, and this is where philosophy, Asian philosophy, Western philosophy, the Greeks, so on and so forth, all the way up to today, they finally get the camera high enough to where we see the shoreline, the other shore. We see it in Buddhism, the ship to cross the sea of suffering, right? What is this suffering that Buddhism talks about? Well, in early teachings, I'm going to take a little break in our analogy here. In the early teachings, even go back to the Satipatthana, right? In the early teachings of Buddhism, Shakyamuni even talked directly about the activity of meditation. He doesn't talk about it a lot, and certainly later he doesn't, because it's all about internal walking meditation. But in the early stages, trying to get people to get an idea of what was going on here, it's like swimming. He said, you count your breath, you watch your breath go in. Now that's mental, but it's very tied to the physical. Watch your breath go in. And here's the key that early sects, Hinayana, and even early Mahayana sects, they gloss over or they completely miss. Ceasing the formations. However you want to translate that. Formation, ceasing the formations. As you hear that, the word ceasing and formations take physical form, because that's what we know. We're human, we see physical. So if you cease something, you annihilate it, you get rid of it. And when you talk about formations, you talk about formations, the way you're seated, the way you walk through life, it's tied to your physical existence, right? But that's missing the point. And we're going to get to the point. What is the point? The suffering is this swimming in the water. This constant leaving one shore, going to the other. Should we turn around and go back? Am I going to make it to the next one? All of that preoccupation with this swimming is the human life, samsara. And our attachment to it is that if we stop, we die. If we don't make it, we die. If we make it, we get something. But it's all amorphous and abstract, and we're just stuck in the doing. That's samsara. Now, keep swimming. Philosophy tells us that with that new shoreline that comes into focus, we now have a goal, we have a destination, which means that every stroke of the arm, think Aristotle, it is now justifiable. It now has a reason because it gets us somewhere, and that's happiness. And that works for a while until your arms get really tired and your shoulders start to pain and your legs don't want to move anymore and you're still in this huge body of water. So this is what Buddhism identifies, Shakyamuni identified as, this is suffering. This is this activity of the human mind, this samsaric existence, is full of beautiful stuff going on and a lot of action and will and determination, but it's attached to the idea of what's the point. And that's suffering. So how do we liberate ourselves from suffering? How do we do it? Do we swim faster? Do we stop swimming and just sink? What do we do? So in the meantime, keep swimming. Oh, and while you're swimming, do these things. You know, set up an altar, set up a Guanzhan, chant, meditate. Okay, I'm swimming, right? So what is awakening? What is enlightenment? So, over the years, Shakyamuni shifted from the physical idea to the mental idea, because he made sure the people understood that the mental idea is the physical idea. The physical is only a manifestation of what's going on in the mind. That's a little rough. Even to this day, people have a hard time getting that right, but hang in there. So Mahayana is mainly a discussion about how the mind is perceiving all of this. What is the nature of suffering? How do we suffer? Because we form these thoughts. We form these patterns and the identification of these patterns, and we're married to them and we can't let go of those patterns. That's attachment. And because we're attached to every stroke of the swim and the body of water and our bodies and the distance of the shore and the shoreline behind us and measuring all this stuff, this is suffering. It takes a long time to try to get the minds of the people he's talking to wrapped around this. To this day, Nichiren's doing the same thing. And then there's a little sutra comes along. And he says, okay, you guys understand how this works. Let me tell you what you're going to do now. And in the first half of the Lotus Sutra, he kind of shakes things up a bit. And he gives you a different perspective on what's been going on all this time. And you're starting to go, And in the second half of the Lotus Sutra, he drops the bomb on you. And this is where we're going to understand transcendence, real transcendence in the scope of Buddhist teachings, and why this ain't no religion. This is totally about reality, totally pragmatically about how to live your life well, how to awaken, how to liberate yourself, free yourself from the suffering while still being human, not evaporating into a puff of smoke going, bah, I'm enlightened. No. What good would it have? What applicability would Buddhism have to a life well lived if all it did was hope for leaving it? That's not Buddhism. So, in the lifespan chapter, what Buddha says to all of us swimming in this huge body of water with all of our philosophical justifications and other justifications, everything trying to ameliorate the suffering and the arduousness of swimming, is he says, you know, this huge body of water that you all now have dissected and understand and realize and negotiate with, psst, it's only 32 inches of water. At any given point, stand up. What? Yeah. This immensity of water, this human experience of leaving and getting to accomplishment and arduousness. Just stand up. I can do that? Yeah, this is what Shakyamuni's been saying all along. Just stand up. And don't just stand up. But here's the point. As a human being, when you understand that all you need to do in a, is stand up, then you can stand in the glorious sunlight, in this glorious body of cooling water, and be astounded, appreciate, and see just this magnificent thing of humanity, this perceptive, which now isn't a trap anymore. It's an entertainment of sorts. It's a, wow, I can do this, but, and that's okay. It's okay to have this goal and to swim and to build my body up to where I can accomplish these things, but it's not essential. It's not really who I am. It's just something I'm doing. And isn't the opportunity to have this experience astounding, amazing, precious, right? This is the first level of enlightenment. This is awakening. But no. Shakyamuni goes further. As he's been saying up till the Lotus Sutra, and now in the Lotus Sutra, he really hammers it home. He goes, if you can perceive yourself standing while still here, whatever amazement you sense, which is going to be amazing, amazement, amazing, yeah, I'm saying it a lot, you're now going to look about you and see dozens, hundreds, thousands, millions, billions of swimmers. And for a moment, that's going to be overwhelming. It's going to just make you want to break into tears. And you're going to learn something much deeper, much more profound about your own ability to stand up in all of this. Because there's no difference between you and all of these others. Wait a minute. Now camera pans, zooms into some of these swimmers. Some of them swimming arduously and just screaming in pain and don't even know anymore why they're doing it. Others are just treading water going, why? Some are just laying on their back spitting water into the sky going, I don't care. I'm just going to let the next thing happen to me. Some people are just trying to drown. I want out of here. I can't take it anymore. Sorry. I'm feeling this as I'm talking about it. This is a different kind of compassion. This is the compassion that says, cup your hands around your mouth and look in every direction and say, stand up! And some people will stand up and then you'll feel this tingle, this wash over you of like, oh my goodness, another awakened person. And somehow I'm a little bit responsible for that. I woke them up. They already knew. Everybody's in the same 32 inches of water. They just needed a little help. I was able to provide that. Oh, we're so connected. I'm so much larger than myself now. And then others, you're going to have to, wait, stop. No, I can't stop. I'm going to drown. No, let me help you. Let me help you understand what you're going through. I don't want to hear it. Those are going to be harder to reach. Buddha's compassion now grows more, and you learn more about your own enlightenment, deeper appreciation, deeper understanding of how amazing it is to be awakened, what it means to be awakened, all the while within this human samsaric existence. This is bodhisattva practice. All about this transcendence of the suffering of the daily life, the human obsession, patterns, attachments, emotions, abstract goals. Goals are good. But if that's all there is, if there's no understanding beneath them of the wonder of it, then they become suffering. That's the point. I hope this made as much sense to you as it did to me. I was thinking it, and I thought, I need to share this. So thank you for sharing. I appreciate you guys more than you can know. Check out my videos online. Check out my Patreon account. Help support these videos. So they take time. They take effort. If you're interested in filmmaking, I put up a Patreon under Conundrum Studios where I'm working on this film and doing rough cuts. And it's arduous. It takes a long time. I'm swimming. But every day I think about standing up. And these moments when I talk with you, they're standing up. Thank you for standing with me. Namo myoho renge kyo. Have a wonderful day. Thanks again. Bye-bye. Oops.